This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد وفي القرآن الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as He has gathered us here today on this day of Jumu'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la, in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something that I have talked about in the past, about the importance of studying it itself. It is so incumbent upon every single one of us to learn and study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And though many of us, we learn the seerah strictly from an event perspective, from a date perspective, but the objective of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to take benefits, lessons, durus, and ibrah from the seerah and the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today in this khutbah, inshallah, I want to highlight few things that we have learned from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As many historians have declared and have mentioned and stated in their books that the hijrah from Mecca to Medina, this well-known hijrah took place in the month of Muharram. And though there are many, especially when it comes to seerah and dates and so forth, there are a lot of speculations, there's a lot of debates and so forth, but this is one thing that we see consistently across the books, wallahu alam. But keeping in mind the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all is that we have to keep in mind that this was just not any ordinary journey. This was a very honorable journey. A journey that changed the Islamic landscape forever. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from Mecca to Medina, it changed Islam for good. It made an economic difference, it made a political difference, and a social difference. There were things that happened in this event, and from this event, there were so many other more events that took place, which actually from that point onward, we refer to that time as after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Islamic calendar is based on the after hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a great deal of difficulty in his Meccan days as being a prophet. He was in Mecca for 53 years. 13 years as a prophet, and during that time, he went through an immense amount of difficulties, but when the time came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to migrate to Medina, and this journey not only did it make so much other impacts, but it made an impact even in this country today. If you go and you study the Constitution of the United States, is some of it has been inspired. As we know, that one of the people who actually put this constitution together was Thomas Jefferson. He himself was someone who was inspired by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who actually had his own version of the Quran, and he would refer to Muslims not as Muslims, by Muhammadans. You can even actually read his book. It's called Thomas Jefferson's Quran. He actually studied the constitution of Medina that was put together by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only that, but something that was also amazing during that time was that this constitution was the very first of its type where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he demonstrated to the entire world that people of different backgrounds, people of different ethnicities, and people of different religions can coexist in one place. They can live in harmony. Because if you study world civilization at that time, if you did not belong to the religion of the government, then you were persecuted. You were oppressed. That is not what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So this hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been an inspiration on so many different fronts. But at the same time, if you study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many books written on the seerah of the Prophet. But subhanAllah, in this day and age, there are people who actually are now studying, going the entire route. If you study the route that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took to Medina versus the general route that was taken to Medina at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet ﷺ took a slightly different route. He did not follow the same route that everyone followed. And there were certain events that took place during this hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. But the point is that today there are scholars. Today there are scientists. There are people who are studying the Prophet ﷺ's life, and now they are going and they're taking that same route that the Prophet ﷺ took, and now they're documenting the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. One is you've seen seerah books that are probably this thick that covers the entire life of the Prophet ﷺ. But today I have seen books, in fact they are sitting in my home, in my library, that they are this thick, and the only thing it covers is just the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is how impactful this man was. And today you and I don't understand his value, because you and I, we have never studied the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today, inshallah, from the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to share few points that you and I, we can take home and we can share with our family, inshallah. The very first thing that we can learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially from this event of the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ, is the youth involvement. Let me explain. When the Prophet ﷺ decided to take on this journey, you have people like Ali radiallahu anh. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anh was very, very young at that time. He was a teenager. Ali radiallahu anh took up the responsibility to sleep in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they came in the morning thinking that it would be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there they found Ali radiallahu anh, the cousin of the Prophet alayhi salam. So you see that Ali is taking a role in this hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salam. Then you have Asma radiallahu anh, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. She was given the nickname as the possessor of the two belts. Why was she given this nickname? Because she had a waist belt. She took that and she tore in two pieces, and she said that you can use this to carry your luggage and so forth. So she took an initiative, and she was young at that time. She was a teenager, but she took an initiative and a part in the hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salam. Then you have Abdullah, the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. His role and responsibility during the hijrah, and especially the early days of the hijrah, was to go into Mecca and be the ears and the eyes for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would listen to all the talks that are going on and what they're discussing amongst the Quraysh. Because of course, seeing that the Prophet alaihi wasallam has fled, of course there's going to be a lot of meetings, there's going to be a lot of discussions, there's going to be a lot of reaction. So his job was to be the ears and the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you have another person by the name of Amr bin Fuhayra. Amr bin Fuhayra, his job was to take the animals, to take care of them, graze them, to cover up the tracks of the sheep and so forth, and to bring the animals back to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You also have a person by the name of Uthman ibn Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Uthman ibn Talha did not necessarily take an active role in the hijrah in itself, but he played a heavy role, especially in the story of Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was separated from her family in the hijrah. During the hijrah, she took Umm Salama and he took her all the way to Medina and dropped her off with her family. To which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was so pleased at this effort by this young man that he said that the keys of the Kaaba shall remain in the household of Uthman ibn Talha till the day of judgment. And subhanAllah, till today, the keys of the Kaaba remained and they stay in the custody of the family of Uthman ibn Talha radiallahu ta'ala an. Though of course the government has the ultimate authority, but to have respect for the saying and the quote of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the keys remain with that family. The point is that all these people that I've mentioned, all these people were young people. And it's important that when they took a part in the hijrah, in this very well documented event of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the lesson in this for all the youth of our community is that we need to make sure that we serve our deen. We serve our community. And in this, there are two things that I do have to mention. Number one is, there are a lot of adults who do want to help out. I've been an imam in this community for such a long time. I've seen the young people growing up in this community in the last 12 years. And my quick observation is, there are a lot of adults who want to help out. And there are a lot of youth who want to learn. But at the same time, the biggest impediment to both is that a lot of times, the adults, they lack the tolerance to work with the young ones. And the young ones, they need to learn to be more humble. In this day and age, many of the young ones, they think they know it all. Read a few books, do this, do that. They think they know it all. So they need to be humble, ready to listen, willing to learn. And the adults, they need to be more tolerant towards the youth. The Prophet ﷺ, he trained the youth. He took the youth of his community, trained them. These were the same people who became the khulafa, who became the leaders for the Muslim ummah, and then they began to train the upcoming generation, and this is how this can, inshallah, go on. The second thing that we learn from the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the importance of tawakkul, to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going out, he's leaving Makkah. And generally speaking, logically speaking, you would generally travel northwards. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he first went south and then he went north. Why? To throw the Quraysh off, because they went against logic. So he went south first, where he stayed there in the cave. And there, in the cave of Thawr, and there the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they stayed there for a few days. And the Quraysh, they came all the way there. And look at the probably the doubt that may have crept into the heart of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They are standing right there. They can almost see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And at that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he feels this sense of fear. The Prophet ﷺ is seeing that there's a sense of fear. So right away, he put Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to ease. And he says, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Tawakkul means, brothers and sisters, that we do our part and we put the rest in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've heard this hadith before, that first tie your camel and then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise here for us Muslims, no matter what the situation is, we do our part. As a Muslim community, we do our part. As a Muslim individual, I do my part, and then we leave the rest in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will then take care. Musa alayhi salam, he went all the way to the sea. He did what he had to do, go all the way to the sea. He can't go anywhere further. When the people of Bani Israel, they said, Ya Musa, inna la mudrakun, we're caught. You told us to trust you. We trusted you. And now we're right here, right in front of us is the water, and right behind us is Fir'aun. We're khalas, we're done. At that time, what did Musa alayhi salam, he say? He says, Kalla inna rabbi ma'iyya sayahdeen. My Rabb is with me. He told me to come all the way here. We do what we have to do. We leave the rest in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a Muslim does what they do, then put your trust in Allah. Allah will take care of our affairs. The third thing that we learn from this hijrah is the importance of sacrifices. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made a sacrifice. There were times in this hijrah where he would turn around. He was further away. He would turn around, look at the Kaaba. It was not like we see today. There are so many buildings that is obstructing the view of the Kaaba. But the Prophet ﷺ could go at a further distance and turn around and still see the Kaaba. So he would turn around and see the Kaaba, and he would express his grief and his pain that he has to leave his hometown. But this was a sacrifice that the Prophet ﷺ, he took upon himself. And then not only that, but we find even the Sahaba radiallahu anhum making certain sacrifices. Making sacrifices in a way that they were either in prison. There were times where some Sahaba had to give up all their wealth. Think about giving up all your real estate, all your money and your savings and your 401k and everything just to be with Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's exactly what people like that did at that time. And not only that, but there were people like Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was separated from her child and from her husband, not for 1 week, Not for one month, but for one entire year. That is the sacrifices that they made. Today, you and I, brothers and sisters, we are told to make certain other types of sacrifices. Sacrifices of what type? Sacrifices that we leave behind what is haram. We love to do the haram. We have become addicted to the haram. But for the sake of Allah and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I leave that is haram. And not only that, sacrifice also means that we make a sacrifice to stick to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is going to happen in the upcoming generation? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But we gotta teach our children that no matter what, even it will be a sacrifice to stick to your deen, but we stick to our deen and we stick to the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Times will change, people will change. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change. Other religions have changed. Christianity changed. Judaism changed. All these other religions, they changed. And what do they want? They want Islam to change also. We will not change our deen just to please other people. We will stick to the Quran and we will stick to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is the reward when you make sacrifices? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let your sacrifices go unnoticed. Allah will always reward the sacrifices of any person. When the Muslims migrated to Medina, they were so homesick, they even came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, let us go back to Mecca. We know what's there in Mecca. We will deal with the trouble. We will deal with the persecution. But we cannot stay here in Medina anymore. It was a foreign land for them. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for them. Made dua for the city of Medina. And subhanallah, till today, when majority of us, when we go to Mecca and Medina for Umrah or for Hajj purposes, everyone says that if you want to attain tranquility and peace, you go where? You go to Madinatul Munawwara. Everyone says that. So this is the dua that the Prophet ﷺ he made. And not only that, but even after Fath Makkah, the Prophet ﷺ could have said, I'm going to stay here in Mecca. This is my homeland. This is where I was born. This is where I was raised as a child. But no, he went back to Medina. So the point is that anytime we make sacrifices in our life, brothers and sisters, always remember, we will be rewarded absolutely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may not see the reward directly in this dunya, but most certainly then we will get it in the akhirah. The fourth thing that we learn from the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that make sure always in your life you choose your friends wisely. Make sure you choose your friends wisely. Friends that take you far from Allah, they're not worth friends. Friends that you have to always impress them, always change who you are as a person to succumb to them and to make them proud of you. Those are not friends. Friends are people who genuinely care for you. Friends are those that no matter what situation you are in, they will lift you up. Friends are those who are going to always remain on your side. They don't need to have an excuse to be your friend. The fact that you are a genuine person, that is enough for them that they will remain as your friend. A sincere friend is what we need to all look for. And this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. When he came to one of the greatest moments in his life, he chose Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an to be his friend and to be his traveling companion. So we need to make sure that we always choose our friends wisely. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq to learn these lessons. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to take lessons from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بآيات الذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Just one more last thing, I just want to quickly go over once again. Just this is something that I like to do at the end of each of my khutbah. Just quickly run through everything that we have learned. Hijrah is a very great event in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Few things we have learned from this is, number one, youth involvement. Number two, the importance of tawakkul. Number three, the importance of making sacrifices to stick to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number four is making sure that you choose your friends wisely. Of course, there are many other lessons that can be learned from the seerah, from the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ, and overall the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. But because of time, inshallah, we'll stop right here. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us tawfiq, inshallah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansurna ala man khalafana. Wa ahfad biladana. Wa aslih awladana. Wa ashfi mardana. Wa afi mubtalana. Wa arham mawtana. Wa khud biaydina ila kulli khair. Wa asimna min kulli shar. واحفظنا من كل ضير. اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بين وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن يقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحيتنا، وجعله الوارث منا، وجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا، ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب. آمين رب العالمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيذكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. أقيم الصلاة. Straight lines, fill in the gaps. There's plenty of space inside the main hall. Brothers, please come inside the main hall. Sisters, if there's anyone inside the multipurpose hall area, please make sure you come inside the main hall. The main hall has to be filled first. The multipurpose halls are there for an overflow purpose. So if there's any sisters in the multipurpose hall, please come inside the main hall and please fill up the gaps. Brothers, please come inside the main hall. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure the rows are straight. If there's any brothers in the lobby area, please make sure the rows are straight. There's still space inside.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله